Hello there, and welcome to Odessa First Assembly's weekly podcast, where we bring you the heart of our Sunday message. I'm Tony, your host and the face behind our digital ministry. We're excited to dive into today's sermon, exploring the Word of God together. So grab your coffee, find a comfy spot, and let's embark on this journey of faith. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
The bread of life. I love bread. You know, when it comes down to it, enchiladas are not my nemesis. My nemesis is anything bread. And so, you know, back in the day, my dad worked for Oro Wheat. Anybody, if you like this bread, you know, I'm sorry. But really, any kind of bread is good bread. And so, yeah, my dad was a transport driver. I remember being a little kid and being in the truck with him. And his CB handle was Buckwheat. But Oro Wheat, that's one. You know, if you want to be healthy, of course, whole grain, 100% wheat, that's a good thing. It tastes okay. And anybody ever buy this? Anybody use this? Hey, right there, black shirt, come here. You ready? So here's you some bread. You can take that home. Yeah, take it home. Yeah, you're good. Yeah. Or you know what's really good? You can even hold it like a baby. Wow. Right? You know, and you slice it just right, and you butter, a little garlic salt. Come on, I'm preaching good now. Amen. Anybody having spaghetti today or wants to have spaghetti now? Or this is fresh. All right, Daniel, come here. Yesenia, come here. You can have this. Take that home. Toast it up. Put it in the oven. I'd have thrown it at you, but I want to come out of the bag. But if you're in Texas, there's a great kind of bread. Come on. Right? I mean, of course, homemade does not compare, but in a pinch, you know, I mean, you know what I do with this? I'll put the skillet out, I'll warm it up, put some butter, a little honey, roll it up like a taquito, right? You're all like, what time is it? Is he going to preach long today? Anybody, I don't even know what brand, this was $1.50. I don't even know if I knew this brand, so. Anybody like tortillas? Who right, come on, yeah, right there in your striped shirt. I'd throw it, but I don't want to hit somebody and get sued. There you go. Take that. But there's also another bread I like. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know what I'm saying. There is no, you know what I do with these? Here's what I do. I like Arby's. I do. I know it may not be a popular opinion, but what I like better than Arby's is to make my own Arby's. And so I'll use these, and you slice them in half, get you some ham and some Swiss, toast it up, melt it, and then they sell Arby's sauce in the grocery store, y'all. Did you know that? I have like 3 bottles in my pantry. Why? Because I like ham and Swiss sandwiches with my Arby's sauce. Not Arby's sauce with my sandwich, but these are good all around. Anybody like Hawaiian rolls? Who likes Jamie? Come here, buddy. But then there's the king of all. You see, my dad worked for Oro Wheat, but you know who I work for? Oh, come on now. Yeah, I mean, this picture this with me. One of my favorite meals is, I'm going to get preaching in a second, just hold on. Oh, see, I work for Miss Barrett's. And I had to load my truck about 2 in the morning, and I'd get there to where I start loading, and the bread like this, y'all hadn't seen this, y'all. But when I would get the bread as a salesman, the bread was puffed up cellophane and steamed inside. You would touch it and it would still be warm. Oh, yeah. There was sometimes bread didn't make it to the grocery store. I'll be honest. Tex-Mex, that's my thing, right? But I'm going to tell you, I'm an outdoorsman. Venison roast with some mashed taters, gravy, green beans cooked in bacon grease, some little diced onion in it. Come on, are you picturing this? And Miss Barrett's bread with some butter. Hey, oh, Lord bless this day. Amen. Let's go. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Come on. And this is, for some, they didn't have their thin available. All they had last night was large loaf. So, but that's twice the goodness. So what's the point of all this? Is there's bread that's good, but you're going to take that home and you're going to eat that bread. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to savor it. It's going to be a special moment in your life. You're going to do a Facebook memory, take a picture, throw it on Instagram. But in just a little while, you're going to be hungry again. And every one of us have been created with a hunger that natural bread or natural things will never satisfy. There's only one thing that we have, one person that we have that satisfies us. And that is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only through him that we have fulfillment. And there's all kinds of great breads we may love, but all of them fall short. All of them fall short to that of the Lord Jesus. Nothing compares to him. My paycheck does not compare to him. My house does not compare to him. My vehicle doesn't compare to him. The earthly pursuits of life does not compare to him. The only thing that will ever satisfy the hunger that we have is found in Jesus. And so as we look, and we look at John chapter 6 today, and we're heading into our text is that a great miracle has just happened. The 5,000 were fed, right? They're on this hillside. And so just setting this up a little bit. And so, you know, they want to feed the crowd. And so this is where the miracle is performed, that, you know, there's the fishes and the loaves from the boys' sack lunch, and the 5,000 are fed. And so they're coming off of this miracle, and we pick up in John chapter 6 and verse 26. And it says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus is calling them out. He's saying, you're more interested because of the bread I put in your belly than what I'm really trying to give you. Verse 27, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." My first question is this morning: are we hungry for the wrong things? Are we hungry for the wrong things? And that's exactly what Jesus is pointing out. He said, "Do you realize what I did for you? I just performed a miracle of multiplying the fishes and the loaves. And all you're interested in is not how or why I did the miracle, but that your belly's got a little bit of sustenance. And there's really, I think more and more and more, what us as a society and a culture is, we're really trying to find satisfaction in the wrong things. In the wrong things. The only way we'll ever be fully satisfied is being in right relationship with Jesus. And I was going to skip this just because I went too long earlier, but I'm going to share this. This is, so John Piper, if you know who John Piper is, he's the founder of Desiring God. He was a Baptist pastor. And back 24 years ago, he was part of the Passion. If anybody's familiar with Passion music, we sing some of their songs. But they do a college meeting every year, and it's called One Day. And it's where the college students from all over the country show up, and there's worship and prayer and preaching. And John Piper was the speaker at one of these conferences. And it was really kind of a landmark message, so to speak, that really exposed the world to who John Piper is. And I want to read some of his sermon. Remember, are we chasing the wrong things? And so I want to read you some of his sermon. And so he says this, 3 weeks, so this is this, he preached this in the year 2000. I was trying to say 2020, the year 2000. 3 weeks ago, we got word at our church that Ruby Ellison and Laura Edwards had both been killed in Cameroon. Ruby was over 80, single all her life. She poured it out for one great thing: to make Jesus Christ known among the unreached, the poor, and the sick. Laura, a widow, a medical doctor, also pushing 80 years old, serving at Ruby's side in Cameroon. Their brakes failed, the car went off a cliff, and they were both killed instantly. Listen to what he says. And I ask my people, was that a tragedy? Two lives driven by one great vision, spent in unheralded service to the perishing of the poor for the glory of Jesus Christ. 2 decades after most of their counterparts had retired and moved to Florida or New Mexico, is it a tragedy? And he says this, no, that is not a tragedy. That is to God's glory. He goes on to say this, I'll tell you what a tragedy is. I'll read you from Reader's Digest. So now he's reading from Reader's Digest, an article from February 1998. And he says this, here's what the article says. Here's a tragedy. Bob and Penny took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. They now live in Punta Gorda, Florida, and they cruise their 30-foot trawler and play softball and collect shells. He says this, the American dream, come to the end of your life, your one and only life you have to live, and let the last great work of your life be collecting shells. See my shells. He says that is the tragedy. People today spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. And he says, I get 40 minutes to plead with you. Don't buy it. Life is too short. Don't waste your life. I will add this. The Bible says, don't store up where rust and moth destroy, but in heaven. We have one life to live, and what we do for Jesus, that's what's going to last. And so I'm going to tell you, as I look at this, we live for so many temporary things. So just for instant gratification or to fill our bellies a little bit and listen, there's nothing wrong with early retirement. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. There's nothing wrong with vacations. Please don't read into what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to say is, where is your life pointed? What is the purpose and the mission of your life? And it will only be fulfilled and being completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Listen, you can work all of your life and have the fattest retirement account that anyone could ever have, and you can still be empty. The only fulfillment's in Jesus and the bread of life. I often think of my legacy, the decisions I've made, and the most important thing to me beyond my marriage and beyond my relationship with my kids serving the Lord, is that if the Lord tarries and I draw my last breath and I go by the grave, I die, what do I want my legacy to be? You know what I do? I want my kids to say he loved ministry, he loved us, but I gotta tell you, what I want them to say more than anything is that he lived his life in pursuit of Jesus. Joan of Arc, you may have heard of Joan of Arc, she says this, every man gives his life for what he believes, and every woman gives her life for what she believes. Sometimes, listen, sometimes people believe in little or nothing, and so they give their lives to little or nothing. One life is all we have, and we will live it as we believe in living it, and then it's gone. The only thing of eternal value is what we do for the Lord. It's what we do for the Lord. Are we so focused on the loaves that we haven't seen who made them? We also, as a people, I think so many times, we get focused on and what's in his hand and not what he's trying to do and to accomplish. Back in the 90s, we used to have these worship songs, and a lot of them would express, don't let me look at what's in your hand, but let me look into your eyes. And I think that's a spiritual truth that we need to grab a hold of. Listen, my serving the Lord, my worshiping of him is not based on what he can do for me. There may be points and times in my life where he multiplies the fishes and the loaves. There may be some times in my life where he comes through with a breakthrough and I have some kind of blessing, but that is not why I serve him. I serve him because he deserves it. Because when I was still a sinner, he came to this earth and he died for me, and that alone is worthy of me serving him. Do I need breakthrough? Do I need blessing? Do I want abundant life and all those things, and joy and peace and strength? Absolutely, I do. But my relationship is not based on that. Too many times we base our relationship on the Lord of what he can do for us beyond salvation. The miracles of Jesus, you know what they show us? Isn't he so good? Amen. That was a good amen. Are you still with me? Jesus is good. He wants to heal and provide and bless and strengthen and never leave you nor forsake. I mean, all of that's accurate and true. But you know what he came to do is to meet our greatest need. That's why he came. There's a song, one of those songs we used to sing. We sing it ever so often, and I used to kind of have a little hard time with this song because some of the wording. And just so you know, every song we sing on a Sunday, I how do I word this? Because I almost just worded it way wrong. There are some songs we sing that I don't care for. I'm just like some of you. It's okay. But let's go back to something I said earlier. What are we trying to do? We're trying to minister to the whole. All right, that was a good place to say amen. But here's some of the words of some of this song. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. And it says this, I'm not here for your blessings, Jesus. You don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. Those are powerful words. In John chapter 6, verse 30. So he said to them, then what sign do you... And so, you know, Jesus and I have this conversation. There's some other things that have happened in between our verses, but I don't have a whole lot of time. So I'm trying to... We're kind of, you know, want to move at light speed a little bit here so I can get some of this in. But he just did a miracle. He fed the 5,000. And he's like, you don't get why I'm here. It's not about the fishes and the loaves. Then what sign do you do? Let us see so that we can believe you. What work do you perform? Come on, perform for us. Right? Are you getting the image of this? Verse 31, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread. You know, talking about, you know, the children of Israel come out of Egypt and all that happened there. Verse 32, then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Here what he's saying is the manna that Moses got, that you celebrate so much, was temporary. And matter of fact, it was pointing to something greater. For those that are listening to podcasts, I'm pointing to myself, not meaning me, but Jesus is saying, it matters to me, it's about me. And then they say, sir, give us this bread always. So number one was, are we hungry for the wrong things? Number two is this, do we always need Jesus to prove who he is? I want to tell you, we do not. There's a lot of people that get locked up is that just, you know, Jesus has got to show me who he is. You know, he really doesn't. This life we live it based on faith and trust and God's infallible word. John 20:29, Jesus said to them, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. See, listen, here's the key I'm trying to get to. Is the circumstance that I am in does not determine God's identity. The circumstance that I am in does not determine God's identity. Listen, there is no question, no doubt. Listen, if you came to faith or came to confession in Jesus because somebody told you, hey, listen, you're going to give your life to the Lord, then everything's going to get great. They lied to you. That's real. They lied to you. Listen, I don't get saved because all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to get my 30-foot boat. I'm going to get my, you know, third and fourth house. I'm going to get my ranch. I might one day. I don't know. Who knows what the Lord has? Should I even say? Oh, okay, I'm already started. My dream, see, a lot of you, you know, like when I was a kid, you know, my dream car was like, you know, a Lamborghini or something. I mean, now, you know, one day, if the Lord willing, one day, I'm going to have a King Ranch F-250. One day. That October's coming, Pastor Appreciation, by the way. Just, that may be the only way that ever happens, but, you know. But we get so caught up in what we want God to do for us, we forget that he's already done the greatest thing that he can do for us. The circumstance that I'm in does not determine God's identity. There are going to be times you're going to face hell. And I wish there was another way that I could say that, but I can't. You're going to go through battles that nobody should face. You're going to go through heartache and brokenness and diagnoses and problems and issues and struggles and battles. But none of that determines the goodness of God. And I don't serve him because he can multiply some bread and fish for me. I serve Jesus because what he paid for me. So many times people stop serving God because the enemy convinces them that God does not love them, that God is not good. As he's been using it since the Garden of Eden, Satan wants us to define God by our circumstance. Satan wants us to define God by our hurt. Satan wants us to determine who God is by what we've suffered or our brokenness or what other people do. Abuse is suffered. Satan wants to convince us that God has caused all of this pain, but the reality is he did not. Matter of fact, he set up the garden and Adam and Eve for complete success, but they chose differently. And that's where it comes all in. I know that people are in tough situations, but I'm going to tell you, and as I say this, I do want to remind you, if you need a miracle, Jesus is a miracle worker. If you need healing, he still heals. If you need mending of the broken heart, he still binds up the broken heart. If you need joy, he'll still bring it with the morning. If you feel the enemy coming in like the flood, he will still raise the standard. He will still hold to his promise of doing what he said he will do. But that's not why we serve him. We serve him because he is God. And he gave his life for us. It is our responsibility to obey, and the results belong to God. I know somebody's going to go to Tony after service that he missed a blank. There you go. I got to hurry. I think there's two areas. I'm going to just talk about this for a minute. There's two areas that I think, see, how we live this life, I think really matters. I think it matters to those around us. And so there's this whole encounter that's happening here. And we got to really look internally up to us as believers and realize something, that the way that we live life, it matters. And the only way we're going to have fulfillment and the strength and the sustenance to live this life right is partaking of the bread of life. But our relationship with one another determines if people will believe in God or not. Verse chapter 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples. This is what Jesus is saying. People are going to know that you follow me. People are going to know that you serve me. And how are they going to know? It doesn't say that you get to preach on a platform behind a pulpit. It doesn't say that you know all the top 40 songs in Air One or K-Love. It doesn't say that because you wear a t-shirt or have a bumper sticker on your car that says, honk if you love Jesus. He says, they're going to know it by one way. Your love for one another. Amen. Your love for one another. There was something in my first first years of marriage that I believed. I believed that when Angela hurt my feelings, she did it on purpose. She did it on purpose. She did it intentionally. Everything she did that hurt my feelings, I'm like, you did that on purpose. But it creates a crazy cycle. But I have learned now, after 25 years of marriage, that when Angela hurts me, she's probably going through a battle. That when Angela hurts me, she's not doing intentionally, she's hurting in some area. That when Angela, that I believe 100% that Angela wants good for me. That she wants the best for me. Are you hearing me? Amen. And with the Lord, it's the same exact way. God wants what's good for you. But so many times our relationship with one another, we based on an assumption and a perception that, quite frankly, most of the time is not accurate. I'm really going to preach good right now. Listen, stop reading between the lines. Quit thinking somebody did something to you intentionally. If you live life with that lens and out this life, I'm going to tell you, you are going to spend a whole lot of time offended, hurt, and bitter. And quite frankly, the scripture says think about this. So I'm going to tell you that I believe that the most people in your life or your church family, whoever it may be, are not trying to hurt you intentionally. But even if they did, even if they're like, Danny's in my crosshairs and I'm going to do all that I can to hurt his feelings. I'm on mission. You know what the scripture says? That he's got to love me, forgive me. Now, that doesn't mean maybe we'll be in perfect relationship. I'm not talking about being unhealthy and codependent. That's all the outside the bell curve, right? But the scripture says that if the scripture teaches in Matthew that if he wants forgiveness, he's got to forgive me. And the reality is that we go through this process of hurt, offense, and bitterness, and it is not scriptural. Let it go. I'll just read the verse. I'm off time. I got to move on. We got to hit closing. Ephesians 4:31. You know what? I will read it. Never mind. This is too important. Ephesians 4:31. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Get rid of all bitterness. It didn't say some. It didn't say a little. It didn't say a fraction. It didn't say 90%. It says all bitterness, all rage, all anger, all harsh words, all slander, all types of evil behavior. And so let's kind of work this back a little bit. So he's saying you get rid of all this, but you know what also we can read into this in an accurate fashion is that bitterness is evil behavior. Come on now. Rage is evil behavior. Anger is evil behavior. Harsh words, evil behavior. Slander, evil behavior. And the hardest offenses to get over are offenses that you were never meant to carry. If somebody hurts my wife's feelings, I cannot take up her cause because then I'll get offended, but God will not give me the grace to get through that offense. Are you? I'm teaching it really good right now. And so people base our relationship about Jesus with our relationship with one another. Now, granted, if you walk by right now and you were to hit my wife in the mouth, I'm going to become a barely safe pastor at that moment. But if my feelings are hurt, I cannot take up that cause. Why? Because what will happen is God will contend who's ever in wrong relationship. And so whoever that is that Angela is not square with, God will contend with her heart. He'll contend with their heart. They'll make things right and move on. And I'm like, don't you remember what they did to you? Oh yeah, but we made up. We're moved on. And then I'm left to carry the weight. Let's move on. Some of you are like, let's move on. Third and final thing is this, worship being come to the platform. We're gonna do this really quick. This has been a good day though, right? Have you learned something today? Yeah. Number three is this, Jesus is here to provide you with everything that you need for your spiritual life. Jesus is the only way to be whole. He's the only way. There is nothing that you can find to be complete except Jesus. Jesus is the one that saves. Jesus is the one that heals. And so we get to this pinnacle moment in this account in John. We're in John chapter 6 and verse 38. It's where he makes the announcement. And listen, John 6 is so rich. There's so much more to be talked about, but in John 6:48, right? So this is the culmination. Fishes and loaves. Jesus is like, you're just following. You don't realize what's happening. You just got your bellies full. There's a bigger picture here. And he makes the announcement. I am the bread of life. And he goes through, and we're not going to read the whole passage, but I mean, through the end of the chapter, he goes in all kinds of detail and description of what that means. But what he's telling them is this. Listen, in our culture, in the first century culture, bread is important, but it's not as important as me. Bread has significance, but it's not as significant of why that I came. And all throughout history, I mean, really, bread has been so important, and there's meanings behind bread, of meaning covenant, Psalm 41, it says, even my close friends, someone I trusted who shared my bread, they ate together, they broke bread together, they were in special relationship. But Jesus says, none of that compares to me. He said, you're pursuing me because for a moment, for an evening, you were content because your belly was full. What I'm trying to tell you, that was just an example to show you why I'm really here. And that's to completely and fully and wholly to fulfill you. I am the bread of life. And we see it really come to culmination after his death and his resurrection. At that Passover supper, well, before his death, that Passover supper, when they have this meal together, and scripture says they take bread and he blessed it. And he said, this is my body. He takes the cup that represents his blood. He says, this is my blood. And this is all comes from, matter of fact, right after this in John 6, you know what he says something very weird. If you don't understand, he says, you read the rest of John. He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And what he's talking about is that covenant relationship that we can have with Jesus. He wasn't actually saying to be cannibals. That's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying that that bread becomes his flesh or that that juice becomes his blood. He says it's a representation of why that he came. Of why that he came. I want you to stand this morning, and as you stand, we have some that are going to come and serve us communion.
Thanks for joining us on this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more inspirational messages. Connect with us on social media at Odessa First AG. And if you'd like to support our ministry, visit odessafirstassembly.com/giving. Until next time, stay blessed.